Welcome to Listen to Older Voices, a program produced for Uniting Melba and podcast through the Toorak Times. It's always a pleasure to bring you, through their stories, the life and times of older people in our community. All very interesting, all very different, and all very entertaining. Hello, I'm Rob Greaves and this is part one of a three-part program featuring the life and times of 75-year-old Veronica Ireland. Born in Bunbury, West Australia in 1944, she and her family moved to the then small township of Healesville, just outside of Melbourne, at the age of one. Here, her father opened up an electrical goods store that would remain in the family for many decades. Veronica was born partially deaf and as a result suffered a lot of ridicule and teasing from other kids. But what compounded this terrible situation was that even her mother would call her stupid, even though her learning suffered because of her deafness. Then we are amazed as we learn how Veronica suddenly gained the ability to hear in a story that is sure to stick with you. The stories come thick and fast and include tales of a father, of his work in the Australian Air Force during World War II, and his work with the Healesville CFA. Veronica takes up a career as a nurse and has a series of ups and downs, but in the end becomes a nanny housekeeper with a well-known surgeon who, in turn, ends up convincing her to return to psychiatric nursing. So many stories, so let's make a start. Here I am, speaking with Veronica. First of all, Veronica, thank you very much for inviting me into your home. Could I start by asking you, when were you born and whereabouts were you born?
The 2nd of November in 1944, over in Bunbury, Western Australia.
That's a long way from where you are now. What can you remember about those early days in Bunbury?
Nothing.
You were too little, were you?
Yes.
So what are your earliest memories? What are the things you can remember?
I can't remember being in Lawn at that stage when we came back to Victoria.
Right.
But the first thing I can remember is growing up in the shop opposite the Memorial Hall.
Here in Healesville?
Mm.
So your parents and yourself came to Healesville when you were still a young girl?
I was 12 months old.
12 months old. No wonder you couldn't remember anything before that. I wish I could remember things at 12 months. So what was Mum like? What sort of woman was your mum?
She was pretty good, but I was always treated quite differently because I was deaf.
Right. So your mum treated you differently?
Yeah.
Okay.
And she did not think I would go very far at school. But as I was telling somebody the other day, it's all because of my deafness. Until I was 8 years old, when I had tonsils and adenoids out.
And what happened then?
My hearing got better.
Amazing.
Because I had middle ear infections.
And so taking the tonsils and adenoids out fixed that problem.
Yeah.
Oh, that must have been a magic moment for you when you started to hear clearer. Can you remember that?
Oh, to a certain degree, but still, I didn't pick things up. I used to have a name for the Pacific Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Because I couldn't hear properly, I used to call it Pacific.
You can understand that now, can't you, why you would do that?
Yeah.
Yes.
And people used to laugh at me.
Yeah.
But you see, the thing was, I didn't want to know about the deafness.
Of course.
But the school doctor picked it up. There used to be doctors who used to go down round to all the schools when we were growing up.
Yes.
And they'd do a test to see, you know.
Yeah, how healthy you were and whether you could see properly and hear properly.
Yeah.
Did you find as a young girl who had hearing problems that people would think that you were probably weren't very smart because you couldn't. Yes.
Yes.
They think because people have a hearing problem, they're not smart.
No.
That must have been very difficult for you because you probably knew you were pretty smart.
Yeah.
Did you get teased?
Yes.
That's terrible for you.
I spent a lot of time at boarding school by myself because I'd been told I wasn't that intelligent.
That's a terrible thing to have to carry, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have any brothers and sisters?
One brother and three sisters.
How did you get on with them?
Oh, not too bad. Wendy's been helping me, the youngest in the family.
Right.
She went to university when she was 16.
So she's very smart.
Yeah.
Obviously.
And she's been helping me with the puzzles.
Oh, right.
That's life and take five.
Right.
And anyway, we do it over the phone.
you like doing puzzles?
Hmm.
It's good for the brain, isn't it?
I know.
Yes.
And I mean, the thing is, sometimes I'll read a question. Don't know. And anyway, I'll be in the car driving somewhere or sitting down here watching television or whatever, and then I'd say, and there was a question about something, cat or dog. And then I heard of the fact, gentle patting the cat.
What about Dad? What sort of person was your dad?
I love my dad.
What did he do? Oh, did he own the shop, did he? He ran the shop?
Oh, yeah.
What sort of shop was it?
Electrical.
What, electrical goods and things?
Mm.
Right. And so they were here in Hillsville then really in the 1950s or earlier?
Earlier.
Yes.
And Dad was communications officer with the fire brigade.
Right.
And then he became he was the first regional officer for the Unit 13, this was.
Right.
And Region 13. So I'd be at the base station,
mm-hmm.
sitting on the stool and conveying instructions. There was only once or twice when I'd answered the radio when Dad wasn't there. And Mum said to me, "Why did you give them permission to burn off down on the railway track? Why did you do this?" And George Start said to me one day, he said, because I was nursing down at Mob Park, and anyway, he said, "Why didn't you report that fire?" I said, "What fire?" And then I saw him again and I said, "That fire was on the opposite side of where I was working, so how could I see it?"
So you've been involved with the local CFA for a while, were you?
Oh, Dad was regional officer and he had HE21.
Right. What does that mean? Sorry, what's HE21?
Hillsville 21, because it was a base station.
Right, okay, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
In the book about the CFA, that was written as somebody else having HE21. But, you know.
It was your dad.
It was my dad.
Yeah.
You know. Accurate information drives me ratty, you know.
It's got to be right. Yes.
It's got to be right.
Yeah, well, that's fair enough, yes. So was he a good family man, your dad?
Oh, yes. Yeah. And he was in the Air Force.
During the war?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Did he ever tell you any stories about his experiences?
He did. Told me about when he set up One Direction Finder. He was on his own. He had a plane and crew given to him. But he set up all the direction finders. They're the same things as they have in the towers, you know,
mm-hmm.
airport control towers. But not as sophisticated as they've got now. But anyway, he saw the Battle of Hawaii on the direction finder.
Right.
Up in Queensland, he saw it.
He saw it from that distance, yes.
Yeah, but I mean when he'd set it up.
Was he a pilot or was he part of the crew?
No.
No, he was ground, worked on the ground.
He was electrical.
Right,
man.
Of course he was. You mentioned that's why he brought those skills into the shop after the war.
Mm.
That's where he learnt his trade in the Air Force.
And Mr. Dick Richards talked him into coming up here.
Right.
He was his boss in the Air Force.
Right. So that's why the family got ended up in Hillsville.
And Mr. Richards is no longer alive, but his wife's here and son.
The sweet, sweet memories you gave of me. You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
Take sweet, sweet one fresh and tender kiss.
You can't beat the memories you gave.
Add one stolen night of bliss.
You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
One girl, one boy, some grief, some joy.
Sweet, sweet memories you gave
made of this.
You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
Don't forget a small moonbeam.
You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
Fold in lightly with a dream.
The memories you gave me.
Your lips and mine, two sips of wine. Memories are made of this.
The memories you gave me.
Then add the wedding bells, the one house where lovers dwell. Three little kids for the flavor. Stir carefully through the days. See how the flavor stays. These are the dreams you will savor. With
sweet, sweet
his blessings
gave
from
me
above.
You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
Serve sweet, sweet it generously with love.
You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
One man, one wife, one love through life.
Memories
are made of this.
You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
Memories are made of this.
And this is Listen to Older Voices, Ageless Stories on Ageless Radio. I'm Rob Greaves and I'm talking with Veronica Ireland. And Veronica is recalling her early years as a child in the then small outer Melbourne township of Hillsville. At what age did you leave school? How old were you when you left school? Can you remember?
Yeah, 14.
14, right. And what did you do?
I was the slave.
You were the slave to your
looking
to
after
mum.
The shop and doing the housework and things.
That's not good for a young girl, is it?
Nuh-uh. Until I went nursing.
Right. And what age was that? Can you remember? Roughly?
17.
17. So for 3 years you had to do the hard work for the family and didn't earn any money, I bet. Did they pay you?
£2 a week. I started off with, and then £4 a week until I went and started my training in 63.
Right.
Yeah. And I got $36 a week to start with, and I thought I was on cloud nine.
I bet you did. That must have been a big moment in your life, leaving the family and going doing nursing, because in those days, you actually went into hospitals and learnt your trade, didn't you?
Yes, yes. So I started off in the eye and ear.
Right. Very ironical, given you had hearing problems earlier, wasn't it, that you ended up in the eye and ear?
And anyway, one thing that used to get to me, I found out I had an eye problem.
Oh, as well as a hearing problem.
Yeah, you could look through the cornea.
Yep.
And you could, it was clear right to the back of my eye.
And that hadn't been picked up before?
Mum and Dad knew about it.
Right.
And Uncle Jeff, who was an optometrist, he knew about it. But I was never told anything.
They really did treat you badly like that, didn't they?
Yes.
Do you think that all goes back to the fact that you had that hearing problem and they just thought you weren't smart enough to understand?
Yeah.
That's terrible. Yet you were smart enough to go and do nursing.
Oh, I was only a nursing aide, but
doesn't matter.
Still,
it's still a responsible job.
Yes.
Did you enjoy doing that?
I loved it.
Right.
And so I went and did it. And so I started there. But at the end of the year, the matron sort of said, oh, I don't think you're terribly suitable. So I was given sort of notice. And so I went to the nursing board.
Mm-hmm.
And I applied for consideration to continue my training.
Yep.
So I went to Mount Royal and finished.
Right.
But I didn't do so well with the exam that time. But I was top with the practical, but I wasn't top with the
theory. A hands-on woman. Aren't you? Somebody who'd rather do it with the hands and learn with your hands.
Mm.
Yeah.
So anyway, I went to work for various people and then I ended up with a doctor who was a surgeon.
Right.
Specialist in Toorak. And I looked after his children. I was nanny come housekeeper.
Right.
And anyway, Lindy, she was the youngest, the little girl.
Right.
I spoilt her rotten.
You obviously had a favourite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the two boys, you know.
Yeah, they were just boys.
Boys, yeah. But anyway, Lindy went to school very early and her teacher used to ring me up and say, oh, she's crying again. So I'd have to go and get her. And then at one stage, I was upstairs and I heard this voice. And then I realised, oh, she's talking to her imaginary friend again.
So she was lonely, do you think?
No, little girls just do that.
Oh, well, having never been a little girl, I didn't know that. So she...
Didn't you have a little children?
No, I didn't have a little girl, no, any boys.
Yeah, but children do that. They do talk to their imaginary friend. Like the Sally that was on Home and Away. She used to talk to her imaginary friend. You know, and she grew up on Home and Away.
Right. So was that a job you enjoyed, doing that in the specialist's home with the kids? Was that something that was rewarding?
Yes, yes. And when he went out, and he'd go to the theatre quite often, this one doctor, I could understand him talking. He came from up north somewhere, and he wanted to send the patient down. And I would ask all these questions because of my previous experience, but I never understood what he said his name was. So I used to say to Mr. McCann, oh, that doctor rang again. And he knew straight away
who
I meant.
Yes.
He was the only one.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is Listen to Older Voices, a program that presents the stories of everyday Australians through the recollection of their lives.
And so I said to him, I don't think it's that urgent, but it's, you know, it is. He needs to come down.
Right.
So he arranged and he took over then, you see. But he was telling me, Mr. McCann, one day, that he had Dr. Deary come down to him, Brisley, and it was his appendix.
Goodness.
And he also had the doctor who used to have, I can't think of his name, he lived above where the vet is, opposite Coles, up the top, Simon Street.
Right.
And he hit his arm, his elbow, on a fence and damaged it very, very badly. And anyway, he said it took him 3 hours to repair his elbow.
Goodness me, must have smashed it.
He really did, yeah. Yes. And it took him 3 hours, but he fixed it so he could still operate.
Wow, that's something, isn't it? I mean, yes, I hadn't thought about that. That could have ended his life as a surgeon if he hadn't been able to get it fixed.
Yeah. And the doctors in those days had to be all round people.
Know a bit of everything. Yes. So was that a job that went for many years, or was it only a short job, the one with the doctor?
Oh, I was there 3 years.
Okay, that's reasonable.
But
time.
Then he talked me into going back to
nursing,
starting again.
Okay.
So I got hold of the nursing board again and I applied.
Right.
And anyway, I got consideration and I had to start all over again.
Of course.
And it was the same time in the year that I originally started, in the January schooling, and the PTS was in Toorak.
Right. How'd you get to Toorak in those days? No trains up here then?
No, but I was living at Mr. McCann's house.
Oh, of course you were. You weren't in Healesville, of course.
Mm.
So that was handy, in fact. You're right. And how did you go this time with the exams?
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit older, a little bit wiser now.
Yes. Oh, yes. And it went around the whole of the Austin Hospital that I had sponged a wriggly worm to do my practical. And the little boy was only 4 and he came from Narberthal.
Oh, strange, a local boy for you, yes.
All the strange things.
Yes.
And he was in splints in the bed, you know. They had to put weights onto his leg.
What, did he have polio?
No, it was something wrong with his legs. There was weakness.
Right. Oh, the poor kid.
Yeah.
So you would have been good at that because you'd had all that experience in the doctor's home with his kids and you had now you've got the nursing experience. That must have worked out well for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one time I went to put this, he was about 11 or 12 and he was in the children's ward. And I went to put the theatre garb on him. You know, you had to put things over the legs and everything to keep them warm so they didn't get a chill in theatre. Anyway, I went to this senior nurse. She was in second year. And I said, Irene, he doesn't know anything. He looked so terrified at me.
Had no understanding what was happening.
No, his parents hadn't
told him anything. Yeah.
Nobody had told him
what
was going to happen to him. And I still remember it to this day. Irene just said to him, you're going to have the pain taken away. And the relief on the kid's face, yeah.
She spoke to him at the level at which he understood.
Mm.
Just simply saying the pain's going to go.
Mm. He still had pain after the surgery.
But like he had before.
No.
No.
It was his appendix.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So did this nursing, second nursing, did that go for many years or was Did you last as a nurse for a long time or not?
Yeah, I did 40 years.
40 years? That's an incredibly long time. Goodness me, you must have gotten around quite a few hospitals then.
Yeah. While I was working at Mob Park, I did agency nursing too.
Right.
And we had two holidays a year.
What, you mean just 2 days?
No, two holidays in the year.
Two holiday breaks in the year, right.
Yeah.
Do join Veronica and I next week for the second part of a story which involves her experiences working with psychiatric patients, and we learn why she is awarded a medal from the Humane Society of Australia and of a serious car accident that she's involved in. All this and much more next week on Listen to Older Voices with Veronica Ireland. Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program on behalf of Wesley Mission Victoria. The program is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program and is brought to you through the Toorak Times.